For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Now, here's Frank Morano.
All right, here we are again. We are about to embark on an interrogative hour. My big question is, why did my colleague Dominic Carter just walk out of the studio with my headphones? Again, this is the second time he did this. This is not exactly a fair trade. The guy takes my headphones and leaves half-empty teacups. Dominic, you know, I mean, I wouldn't say anything if it didn't say Frank in big, bold, large capital letters. Give me a break here, man. Leave my headphones alone. All right, it's the time of the week where you get to be heard. Unlike the other 19 hours of the week where I control all that you hear, this is your opportunity to control the subject matter. And as long as it's in the form of a question, you can make your voice heard. 800-848-9222 as we embark on another edition of
The Other Side of Midnight proudly presents Ask Frank.
Ask Frank Anything.
Ask Frank Anything.
Ask Frank Anything.
Ask Frank Anything.
Here we are. Ask Frank Anything. You know the rules. For the next 53 minutes, we will give you an opportunity to ask a question about anything you like. There are 1, 2, 3 open lines at the moment. 800-848-9222. We just ask that there not be a long monologue before the question. Just ask your question. So the first words out of your mouth, other than maybe hello, should be words like what, where, who, how, does, do, are. You can ask about whatever you want. You want to ask about baseball. You want to ask about politics. You want to ask about the news. That's great. You want to ask about the inside radio business. That's fine. You want to ask about me and stuff that I'm doing. That's great. If you need advice on a certain subject, anything at all, now's the time to ask. If you have gambling related questions, casino related questions, now is the time to ask. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222, as long as they are in the form of a question. Let me begin with Neil. Hello there, Neil.
Hey, Frank. I was thinking that, you know, when OJ passed, I had a little orange juice to celebrate. And I was thinking, Frank, when it's your time, what do you think the fans should do? I mean, you got like 12 million fans to try to celebrate your life, Frank. Would it be maybe a smoke one of your favorite Dutch masters, a little vodka, or have some beluga caviar on a Ritz cracker that you have for breakfast every day? What do you think the fans should do to solidify your memory?
I think that, you know, I think it would be nice if there was a group listening event. And I'm serious about this. If I do perish, I would love this. Maybe you could organize this, where everybody gets together and they listen to something like the last 6 hours that I'd ever done on the radio, or maybe a collection of an agreed upon 6 hours. And then people can, or maybe we'll even make it 4 hours. And then afterwards, there's a discussion about what we just heard viewed in a larger context. So I appreciate the question, but yeah, I would love it to be a group listening session that people could participate in both in person and remote. And then maybe connect via Zoom if they can't be there in person. That's a great question there, Neil. Hopefully, we won't have to plan that for some time. Thank you. 800-848-9222. That's 800-848-9222. Let me say hello to Manny. What's your question, Manny?
What's up, Frank? I got a question. Okay, here we go. How come gas stations are allowed to raise the prices on gas they've already got in the ground?
You know, well, because they're retailers, right? I mean, they own the product, and so they can determine how much they, within reason, how much they want to charge for it, and they'll charge whatever the market will bear. So the price of gas is influenced by supply and demand. If I see a place that's charging $3.45, unless I'm, you know, almost going to run out of gas, I'm not going to fill up there. I'm going to go up the block to the place that's causing, that's, you know, that's charging $3.15 a gallon. So the gas stations are in a highly competitive market. So when one station changes its prices, you'll see the other stations in the vicinity either lower them to get those customers or raise them. So gas stations, they purchase gas from refineries or wholesalers or wherever they get them at wholesale prices. And the wholesale prices fluctuate based on all sorts of other factors. So look, I would love to pay less for gas too, but I think of all the things that we're going to blame, you know, inflation on, or companies ripping us off, or vendors ripping us off, that's one that I don't know that I would necessarily pick on them for changing the price of gas they already own. Because if they raise it too high, then the gas station up the block is going to charge a little less, and so they can get their customers. 800-848-9222, two open lines if you have a question. Ronnie, hello, Ronnie.
Hello, Frank. Big fan, long time.
Thank you.
My question to you, sir, is I know you're expanding your audience on the radio. Did you ever think about doing a live or pre-recorded simulcast? If such a thing is possible, sort of like Michael Kay.
Yeah, a lot of radio shows do that, Ronnie. And honestly, we used to do that. And I'm not going to get into all the details, but I'll just say, one, I never liked doing that because I'm of the belief that radio should really be theater of the mind. How you use sound, how you use sound effects, how you use, you know, certain words, how you use long pauses. And I think if people are watching a screen, all that mystery goes away. They instead will know everything there is to know. So I've never liked doing it, but as a more practical matter, they found the company that measures radio ratings will not count people that are watching the simulcast in the same numbers as the people that are listening on radio. So you would have a situation where, honestly, the more people that were watching that simulcast, that actually would take away from our radio rating. So that's why we couldn't do it live. But I think we do a little bit in terms of social media video simulcasting. And I would be open to maybe looking at a pre-record. But, you know, I do a lot of social media stuff, Ronnie, a lot of video stuff on social media. If you go to my Facebook page.
Watch them on Facebook.
So, I like making radio special as a non-visual audio only medium. But other people disagree, and other people have had a lot of success with it. I miss for many years had a lot of success with it, and a lot of other folks as well. So never say never, and that's the direction the business is going. So who knows? Maybe one day we'll go in that direction as well. Ronnie, thank you for the question. 800-848-9222. By the way, whoever comes up with our most interesting question in the eyes of our illustrious staff, which today consists of Tony, Elias sitting in the Matt Blaze chair, and Broadway Bill Lee. I don't think he's the same Broadway Bill Lee as the radio DJ, but who knows? That's the thing with radio. You don't know what the person that you're hearing from looks like. So it could be the Broadway Bill Lee that's the DJ. But in their mind, whoever comes up with the best question, we'll give a prize to, and maybe we'll even invite you to my ping pong tournament tomorrow if you want to come. Two open lines if you have a question. 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222. Joe, what's your question?
Well, here's a little bit of a fun question. Okay. Since you live on Staten Island, can you name an Oscar winning actor who made his film debut in a movie that was filmed on the island and name the movie?
I can't. I mean, maybe Joe Pesci in Easy Money?
Nope.
No, I don't know that.
But it was Tom Hanks.
Mm-hmm. And
it was a slasher movie called He Knows You're Alone.
Huh.
And the opening scene was filmed in the old Fox Theaters in Grand City.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. I thought I had seen every movie that was filmed out there. I guess I have a lot more movie watching to do. All right, we're going to continue with your questions in a moment. 800-848-9222, straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's the Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
I'm a chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio. Oh, oh, oh. Well, I was raised up beneath the shade of a Georgia pine. And that's home, you know, sweet tea, pecan pie, homemade wine, where the peaches grow. And my house, it's not much to talk about, but it's filled with love that's grown in southern ground. And a little bit of chicken fried, cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio.
This is Zach Brown, Chicken Fried, a great tune. This is actually a birthday bumper music request from Jaceel Rivera. I have only met Jaceel Rivera once, but I will never forget him. Let me tell you something. This gentleman is a man among men. About 10 years ago, what year is it? 9 years ago, I was in a competitive softball league, and I, you know, one of the best things about being in a competitive softball league is going out and drowning your sorrows in booze with your teammates afterwards. So I went out and had a few at some nearby restaurant. And then, you know, I ended up in a situation where I, you know, ended up sleeping someplace other than my residence. And at the time, I was producing a morning show, an early morning show. I overslept. I was supposed to be up at maybe 3:30 in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'm looking outside, and I knew it was trouble because it was daylight. I didn't know what time it was because I'm looking around. Oh, I can't find my phone. So what do I do? Do I look around the place where I am, which I'll spare you the details on now, or do I try and get to work so that I'm not super, super late? So I collected what little I could of my belongings, and I sprinted, basically, to my workplace. And then when I get there, I was working at a radio station at the time, I get there, and waiting for me outside the station door, the studio door, is this gentleman, Jaceel Rivera, and he hands me my mobile phone. To me, this was divine, okay? My phone was missing. I had no idea where it was. It had been missing for about 12 hours. Where did you find this? He said, you know, I'm a softball player. Our team was in the same bar that you guys were at. So somebody picked up your phone and gave it to me. I called one of your friends and they told me this is where you work. The guy went out of his way at maybe 6:45, 7 o'clock in the morning for a total stranger to bring me my phone back. And that's the kind of thing that I will never forget. So Jaceel Rivera, I don't know much about him other than that today's his birthday. And he went to Cardinal Hayes High School. I do remember that much. And he's from the Boogie Down Bronx originally. But I will never forget that. And if anybody's welcome and entitled to a happy birthday, it's Jaceel Rivera. So, by the way, I don't even know if that's the proper pronunciation of his name. But happy birthday, Mr. Rivera, and I thank you again for that act of kindness 9 years ago. 800-848-9222. Brandon in New Jersey. Hello there, Brandon.
Hi, Frank. All right, there's going to be a roast of Frank Morano in Atlantic City. You have to pick a venue, an MC, and five additional people to roast you.
Okay, five additional people plus an MC. Okay. I'll make the venue. There's a lot of good places that it could be. I'll make the venue. It's going to be somewhere along the boardwalk. I'll make the venue, resorts, because Harry Hurley does a nice charity dinner there every year, and they have a nice room that I think would be well suited for this. And it's close to everything. So it'll be at resorts. I'm making the, MC. I'm going to make the MC probably my friend Vinny Ignizio, because he has enough, negative Frank Morano stories that he could squeeze a few of those in there. And he would also be in a position where he can make jokes about all of the other panelists. If Vinny was unable or unwilling to do this, though, because, you know, he's had a lot of bad experiences with roasts, I would say Jeffrey Gurian, because he's a professional roast master. Then the one, how many say five people I get?
Yeah.
Okay. Five. Well, I'll pick Curtis Sliwa, who's terrific, and he's got a lot of good stories that he could share that would be funny and in the exaggerated way in which he tells them. I'll pick Sid Rosenberg, who same situation. Richard Bay, who is a gifted performer, and in fact, when I graduated from college, I had a roast, and it also happened to be around the time of my birthday, and Richard was one of my roasters, and people are still talking about what a masterful job that he did roasting me. I have an attorney friend named Arthur who would be very good, and I'll pick my friend Jason Goldman, who only I call Jack. He would, I think, be very serviceable and knows a lot of stories from our youth that none of my professional colleagues would know. So I'm having Vinny Ignizio or Jeffrey Gurian as the MC, Curtis, Sid, Richard Bay, Jack, and Arthur as the roasters. Great question, though, Brandon. I like that. 800-848-9222. Greg is in Arizona. Hi, Greg.
Hey, super. How you doing?
I am doing peachy. Thank you.
That show, that pre-eclipse show with Dr. Sky last week was probably one of your best shows. That was extra excitement in the air because of the upcoming eclipse. That was great. There's no one better than Dr. Sky to get your show back on its feet.
I'll take it. Thanks, Greg.
Yeah. All right. So my question, I'm going to go way out on a limb and assume you've seen The Godfather Part 1 and 2, right?
Yeah, that's a real limb you've gone out on. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I saw them 30 years ago on VHS, and I forgot most of the movies. And I see little clips here and there on the internet and say, wow, that's a really intense scene. And I forgot all about it. But what I'm asking is, if I remember on Part 2, they flashed back a lot to the early immigrant days.
Right.
Of Vito.
Right.
So do you think, now I'm going in semi-fresh now because it's been over 30 years since I've seen him, and do you think I should watch Part 2 first?
No. No, I don't. And that this, so to me, what you just described is not even a consideration. I'll tell you what the real debate should be, because you're right. If people don't remember the films, or if people, have never seen The Godfather Part 1 or 2 and they don't know what Greg is talking about. The Godfather Part 2 is a really interesting movie in the way it was made. First of all, I think it was one of the first movies ever to be Part 2. Back then, there were sequels, but before that, they weren't usually called Part 2. But the way The Godfather Part 2 is made is about half of the movie takes place in the past, meaning events that happened before The Godfather, and half of the movie takes place after the events that happened in The Godfather. And I don't think you should watch that one first, because I think that not seeing the events that occurred in The Godfather it doesn't give you a full appreciation of the events that are occurring in the present day. And when I say the present day, I mean at the time of The Godfather Part Two. And I'm talking especially about the relationship between Michael and his brother Fredo. But here's where what the real question should be. About 20 or 30 years ago, they released something called the Godfather. I think it was called the Epic or the Godfather Saga. I don't remember which it was called. It's one of those two. Yeah, it's the Godfather Epic, right? And what they do with that is really interesting. It's 7.5 hours long, and they put it into chronological order. And they put that film, both films, they take both films and re-edit them so that everything is in the order that it happened. That, I think, is a fascinating way to watch the film. My stepmother, when she was dating my father, that's how she saw it for the first time. My Uncle Carmine and my Aunt Camille showed it to her through the Epic version, 7.5 hours straight in chronological order. That's what I would consider. If you can get your hands on the Epic, I would think of that. I still like watching Godfather Part 1 first because I think it makes that last scene in Godfather Part 2 that much more meaningful, having seen everything that happened with Godfather Part 1. So my vote is still see Part 1, then Part 2. But if you want to see something that's more in chronological order, see the Epic, recut for chronological order, and also with a lot of deleted scenes from both 1 and 2 in that, restored.
Yeah, I would do that in a couple of sections. And so I'm not the only one who thought of that, though, because it was a little flashy to me back and forth.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. No. You're not at all. That's why they came out with the Epic. I get the same question a lot, believe it or not, about Star Wars, because the order that the films came out is not the order of the story. So people will sometimes ask me, should I watch the Star Wars movies in chronological order or should I watch them in the order of the story? That's a little bit of a trickier answer because unlike The Godfather Part Two, they don't jump back and forth from the past to the future. They, you know, tell a section of time. So we'll save the Star Wars answer for when somebody asks it. Great question, though, Greg. 800-848-9222. Igor is in New Jersey. Hello, Igor.
Greetings, Frank.
Hello.
Hey, earlier this week, you kind of joked around a little bit about term limits for talk show radio hosts, you know? And so I wanted to ask you a little bit about sort of the arc of a host and the arc of a program where you start growing an audience, you sort of level off. And then, you know, at some point, maybe people do get tired of some people. And in the past, maybe they go on to other markets. But what I want to ask you, you're such a student of your craft and a historian of your craft. What makes a show and a personality and a host so that people want to invite them into their house, on their radio, in their car for many years? People like Rush Limbaugh or Howard Stern or John Gambling. What's the secret to that longevity that people don't get tired of them?
Well, look, Joe Franklin, if you were to ask him that very question, his answer would be, without missing a beat, it's sincerity. And once you've learned to fake that, you've got it made. But honestly, I don't know. I've asked the same question to many people who are much more accomplished in radio than I am. And Mark Simone said that the key was just to be entertaining on the radio, which I think there's something to be said for that. I think it's you know what? Jay Diamond once told me that the secret to making it sound like you care about your listeners is to care about them. So I really think that might be the secret sauce. Everybody that you just alluded to and another dozen folks that I could think of that we didn't mention, they really seem to care about their audience. There are a lot of other people on the radio that are doing this purely for ego or purely for money or purely for publicity. And I think that level, look, if you're a total phony, you could still do a good show. You could do a month's worth of good shows. But eventually, I don't think you have the kind of staying power as some of the individuals that you just mentioned. Thank you, Igor. 800-848-9222. You know, I forgot the chivalrous rule of putting women first. I'm sorry about that. Let me apologize to Liz in Florida. Hi, Liz.
Good morning, Frank.
Good morning.
It's okay. I don't mind waiting for you.
Thank you. Very kind.
How are you feeling?
Great. I'm, knock on wood, I'm feeling great.
Good. How's Carmine feeling?
He's doing a lot better. He's back to his old irascible self. He's 100%.
Amazing. Okay, so I have one question ready for you, and an unexpected one just came up. Mm-hmm. So bear with me. So
sure.
The question is, if you had a chance to purchase this station, what changes would you make, if any? Firing anybody, hiring, changing your time slot? And the second question is, my daughter, who's here with me, says that I'm obsessed with the station, that I shouldn't be calling constantly, but I shouldn't be asking questions. What can I do about that?
Oh, first of all, is she too old to be put up for adoption?
She's going to be 32.
Okay, yeah. So, I would write her out of your will and write some of your favorite radio talk show hosts into it. That's number one. Don't listen to her. So back to your first question. So are you listening on WABC or another station?
I'm in Florida, so I'm listening on right now. My computer.
Got it, but two WABC's app.
WABC.
Gotcha. Okay, because just we're on a lot of great stations around the country. All right, so what I would do, I think the station is in a pretty good position. I don't like to get into, firing people, because that could be difficult when I have to run into people in the hallways. I would just say a lot of people reach out to me and say that they wish there was a best of The Other Side of Midnight on the weekend. And I think, certainly the gentleman that's on in the overnight hours on the weekend, my friend Curtis, he gets a lot of airtime. And I think a lot of people that may not be able to stay up during the week would get a kick out of hearing some of the best stuff that we do on the weekend. So that's probably one change that I would make. And honestly, I'm not trying to take away any airtime from Curtis. I think he would be a little bit better in all his shows if he had a little bit more rest. I think there are times when I'm listening, driving in Sunday night, and I can tell he just hasn't slept in three straight days. And I think that comes across in the broadcast. So I think it would actually make his existing shows better and give people a chance to hear this show who haven't. In terms of the rest of the lineup, the weekday lineup, I think, is very strong, honestly. I would love to see maybe Sid Rosenberg, and he would kill me for saying this, start at 5 a.m. And there's nothing against Noam, but Noam could actually co-host that hour with Sid at 5 a.m. When I produced the morning show on WABC, we did 5 a.m. to 10 a.m. And Sid's ratings are strong enough, and he's bringing enough revenue that I think he could absolutely sustain another hour of that show. And I would love to see that. So I'd love to see that be a 5-hour morning show rather than a 4-hour morning show. Other than that, I'm thinking about the rest of the lineup. There's nobody that I would say, oh, that person is terrible, let's get rid of that person. I'd love to see Dominic Carter have another hour, not coming from me. And that's the thing with having a lot of great hosts. I don't know where you would put him. But I'd love to see Dominic Carter have another hour somehow, during the week. And as far as the weekend goes, I think the weekends are pretty good, with the exception of what I just mentioned. Although I do miss Laura Curran. I thought Laura Curran was a good addition to the weekend. And if there was an hour for her to be found somewhere, I thought that would be good. But there's a lot of great hosts out there that aren't currently, working. But look, there's only so many hours of the day. One of the things that's nice with podcasting, and we've certainly done this at the Red Apple Podcast Network, is a lot of people that they may not have time for, but that are great talents. Someone like Andrew Giuliani comes to mind, who's terrific on the radio and could easily sustain a regular show of his own. We have a very deep bench in terms of podcasting. So I think our lineup is pretty good. I would give Sid another hour. I would try to find a way to give Dominic another hour, and I would play this show on the weekend instead of the show that's there in the overnights now. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Tom is in New Jersey. Hello, Tom.
Hey, how you doing, buddy? Listen, you're too serious. Here's the question. As Star Trek episodes go, is it City on the Other Side of Time or Trouble with Tribbles?
Well, tell me the first one you said.
City on the Other Side of Time.
Oh, no. City on the Edge of Forever.
I'm sorry. City on the Edge of Forever.
Yeah, right. That's okay. Yeah. So the question is that or Tribbles?
Right.
Yeah. So my favorite out of those two is Tribbles, just because I'm more of a lighthearted, humorous guy. And the episode of Deep Space Nine, Trials and Tribulations, that was a callback to it. It made me like that episode even more. But if I'm showing Star Trek to someone for the first time, which I've done many times, my wife, former girlfriends, friends, the episode that I'm probably showing them first is City on the Edge of Forever, because not only is it a terrific episode, but it's an episode that you don't have to like or understand science fiction to really appreciate. So it's a great way to get people to fall in love with the characters and kind of a good introduction to the Star Trek universe. So I like City on the Edge of Forever. If you're showing it to someone, but my preference, if I'm watching one, if I have a choice and I'm popping in a DVD and I have a choice between the two, I'm picking Tribbles.
You're right. Yeah, I agree. You can't hate the way the story goes and the storyline and the way they bring it all together. It's just the story was just so well written. It was amazing.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate that. 800-848-9222. Paulie is in Westwood. Hello, Paulie.
Hey, Frank, before I ask my question, I can't wait for Friday night. Curtis is going to rip you. He's going to rip you. But besides that, why can't you broadcast from home?
Well, I guess I could once in a while, but honestly, I really wouldn't want to. You know, there are a lot of people that do broadcast from home, and right. I really think it comes across in the product, some people not. Some people sound just as good broadcasting from home as they do from a radio station.
Honestly, I couldn't tell the difference you were at home or at a station.
You think that, but I can. The biggest difference in terms of quality that I've seen from somebody that broadcasts from home versus the station is
the atmosphere. Atmosphere.
Well, I was going to mention specific people, but okay, we'll go with yours. We'll go with your answer then. So some of the people, and thank you, Paulie. Some of the people that I think can do it well, the names that come to mind immediately are Mark Levin, Michael Savage, and Howard Stern. Those three guys, you hear no difference when they broadcast from home versus when they broadcast at a radio station. Someone like Sean Hannity, there's a huge difference in energy level, a huge difference in focus. Dan Abrams, same thing. And I love Dan Abrams, but I can tell when he's doing his show from a radio station or a TV station versus when he's doing it from home. You're in a different mindset when you're at a radio station. Not only are you focused on your job rather than focused on what your kid is doing or what, you know, domestic drama is happening or if there's a leaky faucet or something, you encounter things that other people at the radio station are seeing. You're also seeing the facial expressions of the people that you're working with, right? If you say something that's, on our show, I know that we're on to a good talk topic when Matt Blaze and Tony start doing their own show, right? I know that something's really resonating when they start doing the show and ignoring all the people that are calling and trying to get on the line. But you could see if what you're saying is funny. You could see if what you're saying is dramatic, if it's important, by looking at the faces of the people that are in the station with you. And it's just much easier to just go to them if they're right in front of you and say, hey, what do you think about that XYZ, versus when you're home and you can go to them and you don't know if they're even listening, which has also been a situation. So I am not a believer in people doing shows from home, honestly. I mean, look, sometimes you have to do it. But, it's not for me. 800-848-9222. Steve is in Elmont. Hello, Steve.
Hey, how you doing, Frank? Before I get started, also, there was a customer, one of the callers, that mentioned what you would change. Definitely, I would give Dominic an extra hour. And I think his name is Mark Levin. I think I'd give him 2 hours instead of three.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. Just if you buy the radio station, Steve, keep me on it. Okay.
Oh no, you're great.
Thank you.
Especially, I love the space. I love the space stuff and these questions that you get to ask.
Thank you. I appreciate that. What's your question?
I'm a share ride driver, and somebody today, they heard me listening to WABC. So They asked me what are three things that I like about the Conservative Party or the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, about the Conservative Party or the Republican. So I would ask you, what are three things that you like about the Democratic Party?
You mean as it's currently constituted under the leadership of someone like President Biden?
I guess basically if somebody says I'm a Democrat.
You know, because the reason I ask for clarification is because being a Democrat today is very different than being a Democrat in 2003. If you were a Democrat in 2003, I think there was a reasonable expectation that you were opposed to things like endless war in the Middle East and warrantless wiretapping. Now, the parties have kind of switched, where now it's the Republicans, or at least the Trump Republicans, that are opposed to endless war and warrantless wiretapping. And all sorts of things. I got into that a little bit with Batya Ungar-Sargon yesterday about how the working class voters in this country have really kind of migrated from Democrat to Republican. But if I'm picking the Democratic Party as it's currently constituted, I guess, and I have to pick three. You know, one thing I give President Biden a lot of credit for is antitrust. His Justice Department has been great in going after companies like Google, companies like Apple, and companies that are behaving in a monopolistic way. And his chair of the Federal Trade Commission, Lina Khan, is one of the best public servants in the country right now. And if I was president, that's exactly who I would make as chair of the Federal Trade Commission. So that's one. The other is, I'm going to say, I think that, I've never really understood pretending that climate change doesn't exist. Now, I am not for, doing away with gas powered stoves. I'm not for doing away with gas powered vehicles. But I think there are things that we can do that would take climate change seriously without making sure that we turn over the economy to electric everything. So that's one and two. And I would say most of the social issues, I've never had a problem with things like gay marriage. I would have said I'm opposed to a national abortion ban, but President Trump said that same thing as well. So I would say most of the social issues, with the exception of, things like being uber woke on certain things, I would say I would probably. And look, I think the idea of being pro-labor is something that I can empathize with a great deal. It's a great question, though, Steve.
It's funny you said Uber, because that's what I was driving. My three things that I liked about the Republican Party was, one, the family values. That's very important in keeping a society together. I think I like the idea of shrinking down government, which they haven't really been too good at it, but that's supposed to be the idea. And I think it was hard, but I think the third thing, the third thing is the border. We have to do something about the border. And my client, the person that was with me, also a foreigner, an immigrant. Gotta ask the immigrants. The immigrants are not happy about what's going on
on
the border.
I know. I'm well aware of that.
The ones that came here legally.
Steve, I get it. And, if you didn't hear my interview with Batya Ungar-Sargon yesterday, listen to the podcast, because we get into the fact that how a lot of people that are voting differently actually believe in the same things, which I thought was really an interesting observation. Steve, thank you. 800-848-9222. Ed is in Westchester. Hi, Ed.
Hey, Frank. So my question is about mobsters and their moral compass, if you will. So you've interviewed a lot of mobsters throughout the years. And I've always wondered, I can see how they can think it's fine to maybe kill or have some kind of issue with another mobster, someone on their own level. But when they go after the mom and pop people, when they go after the shop owners, when they extort money from the regular people, I'm not I always wondered how they can kind of justify that in their minds. And perhaps having interviewed so many of them, you might have be able to shed some light on that.
Well, honestly, I think when you want to find a way to justify something in your own head, whether it's killing someone, stealing from someone, cheating on your wife, or just being lazy, you can always find a way to justify it. And I think in the case of any criminal, I wouldn't limit it to a mobster, I think in the case of any criminal that victimizes an innocent person, it's purely greed-based. And I don't think there's any thought of a moral compass, and the only motivating factor is their own greed, Ed. Honestly, I think it's as simple as that. 800-848-9222. We'll continue with your questions straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight. It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
Midnight. I'm Frank Morano, answering your questions on any subject. 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222. Let me say hello to Dave, calling from Las Vegas. Allure's listening on K-Dawn. Hello, Dave.
Frank, your favorite James Bond film and best James Bond portrayer?
Well, I like a lot of them in both categories. I have to go, and I know everyone says this, I have to go with Connery. I think Connery is terrific. But I think the film that I'm going to pick is not a Connery film. I think my favorite James Bond film, although I love Dr. No, I think my favorite Bond film might actually be On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Understood.
Which was the only James Bond portrayal for Mr. Lazenby, who I think did a serviceable job. Mr. Lazenby also has the distinction of being one of the only two or three people in the history of my radio career ever to ask me to be paid to be a guest on this radio program. But he was a great James Bond, I will tell you that. 800-848-9222. Gene, or Jeannie, is in Manhattan. Hello, Jeannie.
Yeah, hi there, Frank. I picked up on they're asking you what you would do if you owned the radio station with regard to programming. And you mentioned you would have on a program the best of the other side, the best programs mm-hmm. of the other side of midnight. And you actually did have that because I was on one of them. I heard you and myself talking on the phone one morning, I believe, when I was sitting at the table with my husband, and I said, Blake, that's my voice. And it was, you had a program where you asked if people preferred their first mm-hmm. or
second husband,
their first name, but if their married name or their maiden name preferred were for them. And I said it was my married name because it started with a B, and my last name when I was single was an S. And right. I was
so, Gina, I just want to try to get to some other people here. What's your question exactly?
Why would you already have had that kind of a program, the best programs for the other side of midnight?
Well, all the more reason. I think the fact that you're responding
why
to it.
Why did you but you discontinued it.
Well, it wasn't up to me. Believe me, Jeannie. If I was the program director, it would still be here. 800-848-9222. Joe is in Huntington. What's your question, Joe?
Yeah, Frank, I want to ask you, the phrase, how is that be? Where is that found?
Where is the phrase, the powers that be?
Yeah, because a lot of people use that phrase, I don't, because what time you have used it a couple of times.
Yeah, it's from the Bible.
Right. Have you ever read that whole passage?
Yeah, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained by God.
Okay, then if you go down further, it says something about resisting the power. Do police officers have the power to enforce the law?
Do police officers have the power to enforce the law? I think so.
Okay, so if you continue on in that passage, it talks about what happens when people resist.
Joe, thank you. I just want to try and get to some other questions here. I'm glad I could answer that question for you. 800-848-9222. Alfredo is in Newark. Hello, Alfredo.
Yes, how are you? Frank, are you consider yourself a journalist? Why you never mentioned that on the program? And also, do you think a good journalist, it has to be impartial, like not taking any positions at all, like even right or left?
No, I don't. And I appreciate the question, Alfredo. I don't consider myself a journalist. I consider myself an entertainer. Are there things that we do that have a journalistic aspect to them? Absolutely. But my interest is in keeping you listening to the radio and making sure you're entertained and interested while you're listening to the radio. So I could just as easily do a, 45 minutes on, my favorite soda, of which I think there's very little journalistic value, as we could exploring the genesis of the causes of the war in Ukraine. But no, I don't consider myself a journalist. As to your second question, no, I don't think a journalist has to be, I don't know what word you used, impartial. I think some of the best journalism that's out there these days is from people that are openly partisan one way or another. I would rather a journalist tell me their position and let me know where they're coming from rather than pretend that they're objective and sneak in a right wing or left wing or whatever wing bias in what I think is objective journalism. So I have no problem with people telling me their views on something. Just tell me what it is. So I don't think that the two are mutually exclusive. I think you can absolutely be objective, but also opinionated. I hope that makes sense. 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222. Rob's on Long Island. Hi, Rob.
Hey, how you doing, Frank? Big question. Do you think that Tony Soprano did the right thing by killing Christopher Moltisanti?
Well, no. I mean, I think it's never the right thing to kill someone. Thank you, Rob. Appreciate that. 800-848-9222. Johnny. Hi, Johnny.
Yeah, how are you? Thanks for taking my question. My question is, if Biden is so into the electric vehicle mandate, why doesn't he himself drive an electric vehicle?
Well, look, it's not the first time that a politician will be accused of hypocrisy, right? I don't think mm-hmm. Biden is that into electric vehicles. I think he perceives that that's where his base is and that's where his donors are. And unfortunately, I think mm-hmm. most political figures, they're dictated to by special interests, and wherever they can continue to get special interest money from, that's really where their positions tend to be rather than sincerely held beliefs. I mean, Biden is an 81-year-old guy, pretty old school in a lot of different areas. I don't see him getting, and I think he's a big car guy based on our conversation with Congressman Tim Burchett a couple of weeks ago. You know, when he and Biden are together, that's all they talk about is cars. You could tell he's got a big passion for cars. I don't think he's into it at all. I think he thinks this is what he has to do.
Thing the beast, the one at the White House one.
Yeah. Well, I can't speak to that. I think that's probably dictated to by the Secret Service. Thank you. 1, 2, 3, 4 open lines if you have a question, if you want to try and get it in the next 90 seconds. 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222. Pete, what's your question?
Frank, there were 5 American actors, going back to the James Bond topic, that were offered the James Bond role. All 5 turned it down. Would you like to take a shot at naming any of the five actors?
Sure. Well, I know Cary Grant, Clint Eastwood, Richard Burton. Well, Richard Burton's not American.
Richard Burton is not on the list.
Well, right, because he's not American, I guess, right? Hugh Jackman more recently turned it down, and Mel Gibson. Oh, Mel Gibson's not American either. So, the only two that I know are Burt Reynolds and Clint Eastwood.
Okay, so you said Cary Grant also.
Oh, and Cary Grant, right, who was certainly
right.
American.
So you got three. So the other two are Adam West, the original Batman.
Oh, that's right. I did know that, actually.
And you got Christian Bale, who was actually born in Wales, but we do consider him an American actor.
Nice. Well, that's nice of the Americans to...
So that's the five. And all five turned it down because they said that nobody...
Hey, Pete, let me try and get one more question in here. Otto, very quickly, what's your question? Otto. Otto, you have a question? Go ahead, quick. All right, Otto doesn't have a question. There you go. Well, couldn't have been that good. Anyway, hey, Tony, is there a consensus?
Yeah, I'm going with Dave from Vegas with the James Bond question.
Dave from Vegas, is that the consensus of the group back there?
Yes.
Okay, all right, Dave from Vegas, call back, and we will send you a prize of some sort. And if you didn't get your question in today, we'll do this again same time next week. Meantime, in the words of the great Bob Barker, help control the pet population, get your dog or cat spayed or neutered.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.